Good evening.
Good evening.
I think I've asked for something. Everyone has got some rest. So maybe sometimes you think you will be resting here, no problem. But if you are really closing your eyes and resting, I'll come near by you. No, I won't do that. It's just me.
Problem. Wonderful. And the pastor was talking that offering, and it's because of this COVID, and our offerings being less. And
do you mean new money?
Yes.
Is it on?
Yeah.
You just...
Our offering being less than the but ministry has to continue, and we've been praying for that. And I was praying, and things were piling. At the same time, we were doing a lot of work in the Bible College campus in Trivandrum, which is the southern tip of India, because the last 14, 15 years, we did not even paint it. And so a building has to maintain it, and it has to repair it. Then only it can go well. Otherwise, it can ruin. So I took the opportunity because I helped during the COVID time. Our church and we ourselves been able to just go and help people, those who are poor and needy. We helped at least 2,000 people with around 45 kilo rice and few other things, plus mask, plus other things. It's not because of we have, but we were sacrificially doing, and we've been able to do. Through that, I have in a pass I can drive to go to college and all. So we are doing that, all that work, and then it was piled up. So I was talking to my friend who is collect all our checks and send the letters in. Jack, you need to pray that they need nearly around $50,000. Otherwise, and going on, it's a lot difficult. When you are in the field and things are in front of you and you cannot close your eyes, you have to see the needs and are praying. So almost around 1 o'clock morning, I was praying and lie down. I got an email from somebody else, which I never had before. Never had contact with this person. But I know this. I went to that person's home around 12 years back with the pastor of that church there in Australia. I went for migraine treatment. That time I was preaching. So he took me to this home, and she was taking care of my dinner. Went again two more times, but we never had any correspondent. So that midnight, I just at 1 o'clock, I got a message. I'd like to know, this is the G.S. Nair to whom I know that. Then she put a question, with whom you came to my home, and who is that pastor, what he's doing, you know. I think it's like an R, you know, you don't want to replay it, you know, sometimes. But anyway, I just replied. Then she said, you know, I really want to know that the same person. That's the reason, because God laid a great burden on my heart from last 2 weeks. And I never wrote to you before, and you never wrote me anything, you know, because I know our church pray for you, know that. So I'd like to send that much amount. So I just give my... our account here, so she transferred it. And it's wonderful the way the Lord works. Amen. Each and every story you see, even this ministry, it's everything, there is a story. God touched somebody else and did it.
Amen.
So all the glory goes to God. Amen. Sometimes you can look back, it's only God did it, not we. If we were not available, God can use somebody else. So we praise God, at least He's using us, so we are so thankful to Him. So I'll be able to just show some of the pictures now, and give an up-to-date of the ministry. Maybe if this light, if I'm on your side, I just can move over here. And we call it People's Baptist Ministry to India and beyond, because our ministry began to spread other part of the world. That's the reason. Our mission is training nationals for win souls to Christ, establish local churches, train the new converted for the further evangelism. And our ministry actually started over here called Trivandrum, very southern tip of India here. That's the capital of our state called Kerala. Now all the ministry goes from the church over here. Then we call now People's Baptist Ministry to India beyond. We work in all the states of India. We started in one state, now all the states of India. Plus, we have Nepal, Myanmar, Bhutan, and part of Bangladesh area also. And we also work with the 48 different language speaking people. 48 different language. Our home base is Trivandrum over here. It's in just a couple of million people, just a little bigger than Manhattan. And the scope of the ministry now, we don't want to put, I really don't want to put the numbers, but a couple of our friends, they said, you need to put that reason. Over the past 44 years, we have over 450,000 believers gathering in all that over 4,250 churches plus. Some more church we established, and many of the churches are self-supporting now. We don't have to do anything. They start supporting other people. Amen. Here is how the Lord did it. Not we, the Lord did it. We thank God for that. My grandson says, Jabez, that is his photo, but it was my photo. As when I was 11 years old, raised in a Hindu family. Then after education, went to army. An officer there, then God blessed me with this TB, tuberculosis, end up in this mission hospital, Bureau's Memorial Christian Hospital. I was there for 18 months. This was the faithful doctor who gave the gospel to me. Now he is with the Lord from Cleveland, Ohio, Dr. Kenoyer. And I've been able to visit a couple of years back. This was the place I was there for 18 months. Now there is no sanatorium. It's all just general hospital now. I've been able to go and encourage these nurses and doctors to share the gospel to the patients so that they will be able to just reach other people what the doctor has done for my life because sharing the gospel very faithfully. From there, that after I got saved, got baptized, went back to army, he called me to his ministry. Then I went to a Berean Baptist Bible College and Seminary, south central part of India. That is Dr. Jacob Chelli, who was the president of the college. Dr. Vendon Heller, who comes over here, he was the president of their mission. Goes from that Colonial Baptist Church. Dr. Chelli is with the Lord now, but I'm in their board helping the ministry there. And when we started in 1976, after a study in the college, we started a small gospel team. Our goal was to reach only Kerala state. So four men with $5, we began to move on. Little is much when God is in it. And God began to provide for our needs, began to prove that we are His children. Then we start winning souls and start home Bible studies. Then people, those been got saved, been discipled and baptized. And from there, local church been planted. This is People's Baptist Church where I'm pastoring now. We have two services there that in a Trivandrum, established 1982. That's my second church. The first is in northern part of our state. These two services, one in Malayalam, that's our language, one in English. There are a lot of English-speaking people there, but Indian accent, but they come over there. And from 1978, India became a closed mission field. You cannot go send a missionary to India. So 1980, we established Small Bible Institute in a rented building. From there, we got one-third of an acre land. We put in a temporary facilities. This was our first kitchen. And you can see that that was few chickens we kept over there. And then we stopped taking girls in 1987. This was our temporary facility for the boys. Coconut leaves, bamboos, half walls, fully air-conditioned, air goes and comes. You know, it was a kind of tropical weather, but a little bit cooler in that area. It's in a kind of hilly area. But God began to help us, so one-third of an acre became nearly 20 acres now. And been able to just do. The campus was expanded, and we added a seminary in 2000. 2019, our school have graduated over 4,400 people from that seminary, and then nearly 3,900 out of that 44, but now we have few hundred more, they've been able to just plant churches across India. Our goal is to win souls, discipling, establishing local Bible-believing churches. Now the campus looked like this. This is the boys' dorm, and we have a dining hall, and that constructed in 2002, and it's just amazing what God has done. Each building has got a story. So we all just named the building that way. And this is our auditorium, classrooms, and everything. It's called Jehovah Shammah. God is here. And that was. And nearly an auditorium can sit, because we used to have temporary facilities every year, accommodating for meeting for 7 days. It cost nearly around $8,000 to $9,000. But we've been praying. So God enabled us to build later. And it all came from one family. Been able to just faithfully given through the church. And thank God for that. And then we have, but still we do not forget, because the people, those who come to study in college, they see the facilities. Sometimes they forget about how things have done. So we kept in a small portion of the original facilities. So all the faculty and staff, they gather there for their morning devotion. So that way they should not forget that how God blessed us, and be thankful to Him every day. That's me and my daughter there, and some of the staffs and teachers in the Bible College. Then there's the first year students and second year students. We have students from all across India, Nepal, Myanmar, but we have stopped taking some students from Nepal because we start a college there now. And we have 48 different language speaking people there. And a few from Australia, a few students, and we've been able to train them there, sending back their own places. And then the graduation, our goal is to graduating the students and helping them to go to the field through the summer ministry, which I explain later. And through that, they'll be able to go and stay in a place and establishing local Bible-believing churches. Now the campus looked like this, and these are things I have done, and that's all the painting and repair and everything we have done in the month of July, August, September. Then we took this picture. One of the guys came and put, this is our college entrance, People's Baptist Bible College and Seminary. And it's every inch land been used. Or my goal is to raise up some vegetables, some other kind of fruit trees, and livestock, and so that the students have opportunity to work with them. As I said, a student need at least $100 a month. So under $4,000, you can train a young man or woman ready to go to ministry. And then they are ready. That's the reason we've been able to just build up this for the glory of God. And the campus, it is a wonderful way the Lord provided, and a great testimony in that community for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a couple of months back, we sent the prayer letter. There's a link. You can watch this video there. And still the Lord just helped. These are all the coconut trees and a lot of mango trees and jackfruit trees. And we had all the rubber trees we just took out, because after 35 years, they cannot produce. Now we planted many more coconut trees now. The days to come, that will be a kind of help. Our goal is to build churches across India for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that people might be able to come to know Christ. This is our ladies' dormitory, and the library on the top. One of my goals was to build a library. I used to collect books. Now, by the grace of God, we have over 100,000 books there. And that's one of my goals. There's some livestock going down, and it's a cow is sacred for some area, but you can get some in our station, no problem for that. And so this we have our own dairy, and then we sell outside, so people being taken care of. And it's a wonderful way the Lord just helped us. It's amazing that how the Lord helped us. Some goats and lambs, so that we keep that, some chicken cubes. And even my son has got a small kind of pig farm there. It doesn't. And from there, we've been able to just cultivate a lot of things, a lot of fruit trees there, vegetables. These are called tapioca. People say tapioca is a yam. And I think they call cassava too. And sometimes we've been able to use that. All that banana trees, we have 37 varieties of banana there. And it's a wonderful way that that all the coconut trees. And coconut is a good income. And so it's all just became around 30 years. Now we planted many small coconut trees so that it'll be bring some income and for that. And the Lord really just blessed us. We have a small stream that downhill, and we have in a small court, and all this extra planting, and that's where we keep our pigs, and these are the passion fruits, and a lot of fruits, and thank God that God blessed us, that they've been able to just go on. So the graduates go and establish local churches. This is one of the churches in Bangalore. They very badly need a building. But Bangalore is one of the fastest growing city in South Asia. To get a piece of land is a fortune. I'm praying for that. I was preaching that there is no space. People are were so cramped, and the people have to stand outside some churches. Then India is a multicultural area. Sometimes people think India is one big curry. You go to one state to another state, different curries, different staples. So we send out a lot of people in the northern part of the region, but God put a great desire to establish a college there. Our goal is the northern part of India, 7 states, at the same time to Pakistan and a few other places, and Tibet, that area. So we planted some churches first there. Then we, 2010, we just trained some people. And presently we have 90 students in that. It is almost 3,200 miles from Trivandrum. And now we are renting buildings, and they're running this ministry over here. Many churches been planted there, over 480, but now it's now nearly around 550. And people been graduated, and graduate students go to the field, been able to establish. This is the property we just looked to buy. And almost around 78% we bought it. Only we need to buy this area, and we need around $34,000, but $10,000, one of the church said, if I come up with $24,000, they will give the rest of the money. Thank God for that. Then the central part of India is a lot of persecutions and problems there, a lot of trials there. So the third Bible college, our goal was to establish one there, because this persecuted area, and sometimes other area people don't want to go there. Presently, we have 150 students there, graduated 450 students there, and planting churches, and he's building his church even in the midst of problems and troubles and trial. It's almost 1,800 miles from us, a different language speaking over there. You see, we put in a map of United States behind India. You can see one third of United States, but four times more people live in that country. This is the man who got saved and came and sent back, start Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the college and graduate, and they've been able to go to the villages and reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then God enabled us to start another ministry in Nepal. We graduated many and sent to Nepal. Nepal is also a close mission field. So after much prayer, God enabled us to start in a Bible college there, training and establishing more churches there. Presently, we have 30-plus students there in a rented building, graduated 18, and we also sent some Nepali students from Trivandrum, and he's building his church there. It is almost 3,500 miles from Trivandrum. So we've been able to just sent a lot of material supplying. There's a building we are renting over there, and send out a lot of the books and teachers, and then they will be able to just reach out to other people. Every evening, they have to go to the villages and reach out with the gospel. When the opportunity comes, they sit and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the church being established for His glory, that is the way that we do in Nepal, Myanmar, and Bhutan, and the border of Bangladesh also. What about those who got called, but they could not come to Bible college, but the Bible college goes to them? So we have Extension Bible School, where we teach in their own language. We have 25 Extension Bible Schools in different parts of India with 750 students. In this, we send out teachers, and preachers come from this land. We send them over there. This one of the pastor teaching in an extension school. And along with the school, they also go for evening soul winning, holding meeting. When they graduate, there will be a church established by each students there. Evening meetings, they gather and we preach the word of God. And they've been able to just follow up and start churches there, and establishing churches all across India with this 25 extension school. This one of the student graduated, went to this area. His house was burned, his church was burned, and two people been killed from his church, and there are so many others. So, but he came back, we built the church, and thank God that we started the extension school. Now we have 63 churches planted under this region through the extension school. Medora Community Church support this pastor, and he's on here, and they're all involved in the ministry and being baptized, added to different local churches. Sometimes you go to villages, people come and sit. No padded pews, just start, sit on the floor and the mat, and a couple hours that we hear the word of God. This is Toiba, one of the graduates. Burma border and Manipur states is pastoring Town Baptist Church, Imphal. They both graduate from our college, and he looking after one of the extension Bible school. He also goes to Burma for the ministry, and been able to reach out. Soul winning and church planting, that's a model we just use. Every student and all the faculty need to go to field every year, at least 10 to 12 weeks. In that, they've been able to just go. And that's every year program. They go repeatedly 1 or 2, 3 years. God began to put a desire to some place. So when they graduate, we don't have to tell them, but they already know where to go. And as well as they will be having some familiar face in that area. So that way, easy to start churches there. We send out people there, and thousands and thousands tracts being distributed. And we also just don't just distribute the tracts on the road, but we just try to give to them, knock on their door, and just sit with them sometimes, talk to them, explaining, and make interest. And we invite them for the gospel meeting. Many of them come. I had 100,000 sick tracts last year, been able to distribute, and people been able to listen that. And then even in gospel meeting, the villages, they gather there, hear the gospel. Sometimes you have to walk a few miles, but it's worth people gather there, and you can share the gospel. And churches being built, and people being baptized, and continuous going on. Sometimes we need Bible. We need around 5,000 Bibles we needed that. And but we got nearly 2,000 something plus. Some area they cannot buy it, so we try to just sell them for 50 cents. Because I like to get at least little money from them so that it's valuable. So but sometimes one Bible is cost for their one day wage. And so we try to give them only 50 cents. So if you're interested, you can buy some Bibles. And the church outside, because this church is building, no roof, so but they're gathered outside. And so that we've been able to reach. Some meetings are larger meetings. And there, the local church young people also include with the Bible college students. So they've been able to testify, sing. So the local church, even they get excited during their summer ministry. and they've been able to go on. I always tell, this is my philosophy, either your church is growing and just kind of going down. Church never stay that, it need to grow. So everybody has to have a hand to work in that, to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And night meetings, and thank God that this is one of the largest meetings we had a couple of years back, preaching there, a tribe called Bodo. And we sent out 38 graduates there, working with this tribal people. And they have nearly around 28,000 people gathered there for 5 days meeting. And thank God that people were saved. This is the building. The old building was the one burned. And that time, then we just built this building. This is the pastor and his wife. They have to take this child, 5 years old, a few years back, run for their life. He came back and established all these children are victims of that violence took place. So we have in a children's home there now, Pastor Pavitra and his wife looking after that. And we thank God everyone has got a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was there for a meeting, they all came and sung a special number. That's an encouragement for the community. This Pastor Upping and his wife working in Burma, he's looking after one of the extension school children's home and other area. And they've been able to reach out there. Church has been built and the people have been gathered and church are going there. He also look after children's home there. Then we also got some humanitarian work. We have 25 children's home. That was not our primary concern, but as the ministry began to grow, God began to put the desire to looking after these children, those who need, like catastrophe, tsunami. The tsunami hit, you remember that time. We have 58 children. Now, presently, no children are affected by tsunami because all of them are stayed there many years, graduated 12th grade and gone. And gone with some Christians, and they start working. These children, this is the last batch of the tsunami home, and they've been able to graduate and go. Some homes, in the villages, they need bicycles, uniforms, and we got to go into school. And they all grow along with the local church Christians. Pastor and his wife became their parents. They grow along with the Christians, surrounded by the love of God. So they've been enveloped with the love of Jesus Christ, pointing out to him, they may be able to just go. Then we have an abused girls' home. All these girls have been one or other way abused. We've been looking after this ministry from last many years. Pastor Lakshman and his wife looking after. And but all these children had a terrible background and experiences, but now look, all of them found the Lord Jesus Christ and been able to just to grow. And spare time, they work some of the handiworks, and they go to the school, and some of them help to have these uniforms. We praise God for that. They are the one need the building. This was the building which we rented, but we have to vacate last 2 months back, but we put for the letter, we need money. Thank God, around 87% money came. It is another building. We thank God for that, pray for the rest of the things may be able to come. Then, this ministry oversees some Christian school. We don't call Christian school, we call private schools, where outside of classroom, we lead these children to the Lord, through them their parents, and been able to just impact the communities. And thank God, through that, church has been established, reaching out. Then we also got a medical missions. My son always wanted to be a medical missionary. He said, because a medical missionary, you got saved. I said, son, that's too much money, and we do not know how it... But anyway, God works such a way that he's a doctor now. This is Timothy and Hannah. She's also a doctor. They both are willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They start working with us. Then they travel. And he's my right hand now. He's looking after the Bible college in Trivandrum. Gradually he's going to just look after the ministry. And no pressure on him. And thank God for that. And we work with good medical staffs. And Sometimes most of them are unbelieving people, but we've been able to share the gospel with them, supplying the needs. And this is my daughter Debbie. They work with that. Timothy, they work with that. And the community been reached out with help, and but with the gospel. We just, for not forgetting they have a soul. And so continually pray for this ministry. Much to accomplish. With God, all things are possible. It's our family, and without my wife, I was not able to do what I was doing. And pray for Sarah, as you know, she's Parkinson's, and appreciate the thought of prayer. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Thank you for your support and prayers. And it's a joint venture of God's people, not we, just you work with this. That's the reason we've been able to just reach out and pray that the Lord may come to help us. People's Baptist Church and People's Baptist Ministries, that is the ministry called, but all in a local church-oriented ministry. So I appreciate the thoughtful and continual prayers that we might be able to carry on this ministry for His glory. Now I think we have 10 minutes left, usual service, isn't it? So I don't want to take more time, but I just want to bring in a few thoughts from God's Word. Every one of us been given a ministry. Sometimes people think it's only the pastor or missionary. No, every one of us has got a ministry. And thank God, the God of heaven was willing to use these feeble hands for His glory. His ministry is no flesh glorifying this ministry. It's only God. He's the one. And God wants to use you also. I remember there was a lady from Buffalo, New York. She actually from Lancaster, New York, near Buffalo. She came to India as a missionary. So she was northeastern part of India, but government asked them to move away from there. They came to south. So she came to the Bible College where I graduated. She was a librarian. She's not that eloquent. She doesn't have much support, but somehow her passion for the people in India was so great. So as I was studying, so I used to go to the library, God began to just put a kind of kindred spirit. She started praying for me. When I was in the Bible College, we started a small gospel team. We spent time in prayer, not because the college people say, but God put the desire to reach out. So Miss Swanson, she always comes for that. Her name is Miss Swanson. She comes. Then for summertime, I just began to work in the college and make money. We began to go for summer ministries. She traveled with me. No car, just by bus. Public transportations. Villages. Sometimes you go to village, she stand there like in a different color than me, you know. This is the perfect color, I'm telling that. Okay. So she stand there. People gather over there. The children come. I said, you can touch her, give me 10 paisa. You know, so I say, paisa. So then people gather, I preach the word. She prayed for me. Even I forget to pray for me, she never forgot. My first church, I have to walk nearly 6 miles from the place I'm staying and go at least 3 times to that gathering areas. So one day she wrote me a small note in a postcard saying, she was staying in Bangalore that time. She said, son, I'm going to pray that the Lord may give you a bicycle. I need a bicycle. So after two, three weeks, she wrote me. I went to an auction place last Saturday, found a bicycle. No worry, it is in a good condition. It's a 14 years old. I paid $14. And I can see the sympathy and desire that I may have that bicycle. $14. I went to Bangalore, bring back, it cost me $20. But that bicycle became a great blessing for me. That's my first transportation. I remember that I went down to see another colleague working there. I saw he has to walk few more miles than me. So I said, Matthai is working still with me. He's the principal of the college. He said, Matthai, why don't you take this bicycle? So I gave the bicycle there. When I came home, somebody brought a new bicycle for me. I mean, it's a step by step. Today we were driving something, but the thing is that was important. So she put a lot of, so each and every one of us got a part to play in his ministry. As I was looking at this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was talking about, as he started writing this, come to this passage over here. The beginning he said that, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Thinking about the eternal heaven, we have a house there that he is preparing for us. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. I go to prepare a place for you. Then talking about that, and then he come back, as he go down this passage, he also think about the judgment of believers, and then he says verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, because the coming judgment, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, that means men and women, but see that because there's a judgment is coming. The days come, as Pastor said, there's a night comes, no one can work. So we persuade men, they may come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? Because verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge. The love of Christ constraining in our heart. Our heart was hardened. But he came, gave a new heart. He shed abroad his love through the Holy Spirit in us. So now we have the love of God. That love of God constraining in our heart to reach with other people. Then God explained how he is accomplishing that. A sin-marred individual, singing in the miry clay of sin, Jesus Christ in his mighty mercy, come to rescue us. He picked us from the miry clay of sin, set our feet on the rock which is called Jesus himself, washed us with the precious blood, established our going, put a new song in our mouth, and people see, is that the individual got saved? Everything is changed. Everything is changed. We became a new creation. That can happen only in Christ. No other religion ever promised. You try to do something, maybe some way, sometime you'll be okay. But that is not the promise of Christ. You come to him, he will change you. He's the only hope for this lost, sin-sick world. Amen. Without Jesus Christ, there is no way people can be knowing God and living for him. He take the person and forgive our sins. It's a wonderful thing to study that. Be born again. Christ comes and lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Father lives in us. We were transplanted from the family of devil into God's family, calling Abba Father. We are passed from dead unto life. Thank God our name is in his book. Thank God that we have Father in heaven, we are his children. And thank God no condemnation, it be removed. It's all happened only in Jesus Christ. And not only that, all the sin-marred life, he take it. Through the word of God and God's spirit, he began to just work in our life, the good work which he started in us, he began to work to be perfect. Change. A sinner became saint in Jesus Christ. And he changed our life. He made a new person. The man, one who hated Christianity and killed the preacher, became the preacher of God's word, because that's the way the Lord changed people. And no other religion under heaven promised that. people can be changed that way. That's only Jesus Christ. And what you say, verse 17, therefore if any man or woman be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God change your life. It's not just overnight you change everything, but the thing is it's a gradual growth. With the word of God and the Spirit of God, we can work in a such a way in a fellowship. You began to get to grow and you became a mature Christian. You've been able to just expressly show Christ in your behavior and life. That happens there. God takes that individual, the word of God says, and verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us by himself, or to himself by Jesus Christ. The one of the important things in salvation is that we are going to heaven. One of the things of that. You and I need to know that we were enemies of God. There is no way that we were without God, if I speak that. We were dead in trespass and things. But when we got saved, he brought us back to reconcile with him, because the offense made through first Adam, we are completely lost. And we are so far away from God. When you go to the ritualistic religions of this world, never talks about these things. That's important of Christianity. The thing is, we've been just lost and separated and been enemy of God. We lost everything because of Adam's disobedience. We lost everything. But the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, we call, he brought us back, reconciled back to us. The word here says, that verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That phrase, by Jesus Christ, that's very important. Not by prayer, not by religion, not by ritualism, not by baptism, not by any work, by Jesus Christ. That's the reason we say there is only one way to go to heaven. That is Jesus Christ. That's the reason he himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh in the Father but by me. No religion can reconcile you back to the Creator. That is God's pattern and plan. We offended God. He is the judge. He is the one made plan and programs through his son, Jesus Christ. So we've been able to reconcile back to him. Thank God this evening we can call him Abba Father. Once we are so lost and gone away, children of the devil, thank God today we are his, even the apple of his own eyes today. I'm so beloved to him because he accepted me in the beloved. I'm beloved to him because God accepted me in his beloved son, Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, I don't have any chance, any stand before him. That's the reason we are in Christ. That message needs to reach to the world. No religion ever promised this, that. People can talk about philosophy, people can talk about all those kind of good works, bad works, all kind of things, but let me tell you, if you really want to get saved, only through Jesus Christ. Because he reconciled back to him. And that God is the one kept that. The word here says, reconciled by Jesus Christ. And the further things the word of God says, and he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone, those being reconciled by God, to God by Jesus Christ, and God also given a ministry of reconciliation to each and everyone, those being reconciled to God. What a wonderful way God does that. God has given that ministry to you, each and every one of us. Don't think that's only just some missionaries, some pastors, some deacons. No. Each and every one of us. I tell to my grandchildren, each and every person, even little children, God can use them because they've been reconciled to God. And the very wonderful things, as you see, the verse I'm not spending much time in the reconciliation, the cross of where Christ was crucified, because we are a little bit just given the morning, but you see that verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Wonderful. No human being can reconcile other lost human being back to God. That's the reason God became man. God became man. See, one of the Psalms say he looked down from heaven, he looked for a righteous person, he found none. So God has to take, he in the form of flesh, the word became flesh and we called him Jesus. He is our God. That was the fathom of God's love I cannot understand. The God who hates sin, when he became man in Jesus Christ, he went that cross, the holy God, thrice holy God, the God who hates sin, took my sin upon him. Upon him. He was not afraid of the cross. That's not the reason he was just praying, Father, let this cup pass away. He knew that there will be no mercy will be shown to Jesus by any human being there. Rather, they were challenging, if you are Christ, come out from the cross. Even people, those who crucified with him, challenged, if you are the Son of God, save yourself, save us. That's a human, a wicked the desire of the people. But here Jesus, as someone says, it was so easy for Jesus to come out from the cross than staying over there. Need more courage, more strength, more power he need to stay on the cross, even in the midst of that challenge, because he became my sin. I often think, who am I? My Father in heaven, the Creator, taking my all falsity and sin and all my wickedness upon him, that he took that punishment and made me free today. Indeed, if Jesus make you free, you are indeed free, because he took that. Even the accuser of brethren cannot point out anything on us, because God in Christ paid for everything. What a wonderful salvation we have. That's the mystery of salvation, which the world and the religion doesn't understand that. That's the reason we need to preach the gospel. So people might be reconciled. The word further says, verse 92, with that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God forgave, completely forgave, washed us with his precious blood. He remembered no more. Thank God I'm free. It's because he saved me. He endured and suffered, the word here says, trespass unto them, and he had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Not only he has given the ministry of reconciliation for each and every believer, he also given the message of the reconciliation. This is the word of reconciliation. What is the message? Jesus Christ died for you according to scripture, buried, risen from the dead, and he's going to come back. And anyone called upon his name shall be saved. You don't have to use any kind of human, tricks or any kind of word or any kind of philosophy into that. Plain gospel. Plain gospel. Jesus Christ loved you, and he came to this world, died in behalf of you on the cross of Calvary, according to scripture, was buried, risen from the dead, and if you call upon him, you shall be saved. That's a message. Nothing to add in that. Not only he has given the reconciliation, you don't worry, he also given the message also to you. The very message which you are saved, the same message is going to save other people. Sometimes you go to Bible college and seminars, of course we are running, but the thing is that we try to give the tools, how to use the tools, that's all, you know. The problem is that sometimes we just do all kind of things, gimmicks even, try to bring people. No, it's a simple gospel which saves people. Not our flowery verses and our vocabularies, our kind of nothing. The Word of God saves people. That's what God wants us to share, the message of Him. The Word here says, verse 19, unto us the Word of reconciliation. So yes, He just taken a sinner, transformed his life, and given the ministry and the message. Then what happened? You became the ambassador of Jesus Christ. What a way that God just brought that. Wonderful. The Word further says, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ stead, be reconciled to God. That's a passion. This morning I said, that's passion. I'm pleading because God is pleading through you to the people to be reconciled. To reconcile. I beseech you, the Word here says continually, God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ be ye reconciled to God. That's the message of the gospel. We are not converting people to Christian religion, but we are beseeching people, the sinners, to be reconciled back to God in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. That's the reason sometimes we are suffering, we've been persecuted, we've been misunderstood, and because people don't understand God of this world, blinded their eye. Only that blindness can be opened through the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to preach Christ and Him crucified, and anyone put trust in Him shall be saved. There is no other way. Maybe God putting the desire into your life. God saved you with a purpose. That purpose is that He gave the ministry of reconciliation to you. Along with that, He has also supplied the message of salvation to you. And God's Spirit constraining and beseeching by us to others. So we pray in Christ. We beseech you, be reconciled to God. Maybe someone this evening, maybe hearing through the internet or maybe here, if you are not reconciled, I beseech you today. I pray in Christ, you come to know Him. As a Christian, let us just have that desire. Lord, help me that I might be able to give this message of reconciliation to someone who lost in sin and the broad way which leadeth to eternal destruction. Help me, Lord. Maybe that might be the desire of yours and mine. Pray for this ministry, that His name may be glorified. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in supporting and working with us, reaching others for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. God bless you, brother.
Let's pray. Our Father, we can never truly comprehend all that was involved in the cross of Calvary. But Lord, we thank You that we who are sinners have been reconciled, made right with You. And I ask that You would work in our hearts. Bless now. And Lord, may we be willing to not just relish in the fact that we're saved, but Lord, burden our hearts that we would understand we have a ministry. Now, Lord, use us tonight. Now, Lord, if there be somebody on the internet that needs Christ, I pray that Your word would do a work. If there be someone who knows You and yet they know that they have been lacking in this area of telling people the gospel, Lord, work in their hearts. Be with our church. Help us, Lord, to truly be willing to share our faith. And we'll praise You for it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, number 386. Let's stand together as we sing. And maybe God is dealing with your heart. 386. And if you would like to come and just pray at the altar, you're welcome to do so. And if God is dealing with you, I trust that you can truly say in your heart, "Hear my Lord, send me." Let's sing this together. Coming and ministering to us. G.S., thank you so much for allowing us to have a part in your ministry. I've often said we need our missionaries more than they need us. Amen. They are the ones who are fulfilling what we're trying to do. And it's wonderful that we have a part in the entire country of India to reach these folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I plan to meet some of those folks one day. Yeah. I guess we have eternity. We'll meet all of them, you know, who have accepted Christ. And so that's why we need to go to heaven, so we can visit with them. And so I hope that God would use you through the ministry this evening. Now, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you've taught us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. And may we, as we've just sung, seek that you would send us. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.